Hi folks, welcome to another edition of Wise Lives. It's really great to be with you. Today we're in the church in Wells, Sheffield, and I'm here with my two friends, Spencer and Favour. And we're going to have a conversation about what it is to follow Jesus. I want to hear some stories from you guys today, hopefully, about following Jesus. And we're going to talk as well what it is to be of a different race, of a different culture in the UK and in the UK church at this time, and some of your experiences. We're just really aware as a church that this is a really important topic that's come up to people's attention, to the church's attention, perhaps in a new way, even in the last few weeks here in the UK and around the world. And, you know, we remember as as people and as a church the sad death of George Floyd in Minneapolis and many other events that have preceded that and have followed as well. And so it feels like now is a time, an important time, that we continue to have conversation, continue to have dialogue together, and just open that conversation up for us to be part of. So that's kind of the plan for today's episode of Wise Lives. You guys, just before we talk about that kind of stuff, actually, my favourite topic on Wise Lives is to talk about what it means to follow Jesus and the full-on Christian life. And I want to commend you guys because I see that that's the way that you guys have been living. So perhaps you could introduce yourselves, tell us a little bit about who you are, and then we'll talk a little bit about what it's been like, what it is like to follow Jesus at the moment. So go on, Spencer. You've got eye contact with me, so I'm going to jump in with you, mate. So okay. Spencer, hi. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and your faith journey.
Hello, Nick.
Hi, mate.
Right, so I'm Spencer Dzingiso, from Zimbabwe. I was born and raised in Zimbabwe. I came here when I was 17, just had finished doing my IGCSEs because of international.
Okay, yeah.
And then I came to the UK. I've always been a Christian. Like, I was raised in a Christian family. Maybe more religious, but then, like, as kind of time went on, like, I don't want to say it became serious because it feels like something weird. But, yeah, so, yeah, I've kind of always had, like, a Christian upbringing and the sense of, like, I was always aware that there's a higher power. Uh-huh. And it was great. It was great. We had a church that we went to in Zimbabwe, a big church.
And so you were growing in faith. And what was it, study that brought you to England?
Yeah, so it was kind of like a mixture of both. So study and just like, I guess, seeking out like a better quality of life. So Zimbabwe's political scene wasn't the best at that time. So
right.
Decided to kind of move to the UK. But yeah, study as well was a big, it played a big part in
it. So you came with your whole family?
Yeah, so I came with my mom. My sister's still out there. So she's kind of like already into work and stuff, so it was slightly different. So she's 5 years older than me, so I was obviously younger than her, so she had already kind of like started her education there, and then like I came to kind of finish the tertiary part of it here,
right?
Yeah.
Wow.
With uni.
And then did you move into Sheffield? You came to Sheffield from somewhere else?
Yeah, so when I came to the UK, we lived in Bourne, which is in Lincolnshire County. And then I came to Sheffield for uni to first study accounting and finance. And now I am studying architecture at Sheffield.
Woo! And you've still got a few years of that to go, I guess.
Nick, yeah.
it's dragging on, is it?
Yeah, I got a few years. So I got like 5 years left.
Okay,
after.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're actually working as well, aren't you? So
yeah.
You're supporting yourself through uni, which is a massive deal.
Yeah.
And are you doing? Yeah. So that's what life is right now. It's pretty intense, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's work and study.
Yeah.
As pretty much as you can to
yeah.
cover the bases. Brilliant. So Favour, different experience for you. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So hi, my name is Favour, and I was born and raised in Nigeria. I moved here when I was 11, and I moved here with my family as well, my brother, my sister, mum and dad. We moved here primarily because of education as well, but also a lot of my mum's family was actually here, like my grandma, my granddad, and her brother and sisters. So that's why we moved.
Wow.
I also grew up in a Christian family. My dad was heavily involved in church. So, yeah, it was a it was normality for me. Like, I loved God. I think I was into faith quite early on, about 10, 11.
Brilliant.
Kind of went into the Bible, absolutely, like, loved God. And moving over to the UK was a different experience, because I started year seven.
Right.
About 8 weeks late, so that
so
was
already challenging. A little bit on the back foot. Yeah,
exactly. But no, I was kind of like a friendly person and a bit optimistic, so it wasn't really difficult to make friends. However, my accent was picked apart. I had to change that like within a week or so.
So this was in London?
Yeah. So right. This was in London. It was actually, yeah.
Yep.
It was in London. But yeah, my faith was quite strong, I think, throughout my secondary life, although there were some bumps. But coming into university was really significant, because I was on my own and I had to choose to go to church every Sunday, other than doing other things, which I could do. Yeah. But yeah, so meeting people like-minded and having like a Bible study with friends was just great. So that was my experience of church, and following that, I've just kind of followed God since then, and he's been like a huge support and a huge strength.
Wow.
And I've finished uni.
I had a chat with Favour on a couple of days ago, and you said, I've just given in the last thing, that's it.
Yeah.
So you're in that weird in-between stage that I can't pronounce properly. You're a graduand.
Yeah, I'm a graduand.
Yes, halfway between finishing and getting the certificate.
Yes.
Well done. In aeronautical engineering.
Aerospace engineering. It's kind of the same thing.
If anybody out there knows what that means, respect to you. that's a whole other level for me. Brilliant. And not quite sure what's next.
Well, I am quite sure.
Oh, you are?
Yes. So I was planning to take a year out regardless, just because I didn't want to go straight into work, because right. I had a previous experience. But yeah, so I'm taking a year out, going to be in Sheffield, work part time, and also join the Deeper School of Ministry here at the Well for the year. You guys sold it to me.
What a plug that is right there. Join Favour on our Deeper School of Ministry. Fantastic. Thank you.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we could stop the podcast right there. And, no, thank you. But that's exciting. Well done. Well done on getting to the end. And it will come, Spencer. It will come, the end of your degree. Yes, come on. You'll be in those plush architectural offices one day. It's going to be there, man. we've known each other 2 or 3 years, I think, within the church here at the Well. Yeah. 2 years.
Yeah. Yep. 2 years with me.
Cool. And one of the things that's impressed me is you've got a bunch of friends. Many of them are black or from different cultures. And you guys said, I've just picked up in conversations that you're really serious about following Jesus. And you've done things, you've been intentional about putting that in place. So you were saying about kind of Bible studies. Are you in the same group of friends, or is it slightly...
Slightly different,
slightly different groups,
actually.
Yeah. Can you just give us a flavour of how you follow God with your friends at the moment, and how that helps?
Yeah, okay. So I think with a Christian journey, it's very important to kind of, it's an everyday thing. So you kind of have to constantly kind of like almost choose God. And that can be very difficult, especially when you kind of move out to uni and you're on your own and like life presents you all kinds of different options. Yeah. So it was quite important that I kind of still mix with people who are like-minded and who are kind of after the same thing. So in that kind of came meeting people who are Christians or like-minded or trying to achieve the same thing, which is just to know God or Jesus better every day. And having a good church for that is also important. So we just kind of came and realized like there's a lot of stuff that like some of my friends know that I didn't know, or experiences that I had that they could kind of learn from as well. So we just used to talk about it in a very informal way. And as time went on, we're like, actually, this could kind of develop into maybe Bible study groups or just like some kind of formal group that we kind of actually discuss God and just kind of keep each other accountable in life and stuff. So that's kind of just how it came up, and this is some of the things that we do in like the friendship groups. I would say our friendship groups are quite similar. Yeah, I want to say they're not too different. They intertwine. Yeah, they merge at like weird places. So yeah, I've had like Bible studies with Brian, and then he moved to Nottingham and stuff. And like, I still have other Bible studies apart from the community, which church already offers. So it's like the environment I'm surrounded by has kind of God at the center. Like
I love that, because you guys have both been intentional about making sure that you've got structures in place to help you to follow Jesus and to be encouraged by other people, not just kind of hope that it happens. And I think that's one thing that happens often when people end up at university, actually. Some things can be very intentional, like making sure that you go out on a Friday night and have a drink. But other things, you know, we're not so intentional about in terms of following Jesus. And that's what I've really admired about you guys, so thank you. So guys, this last week or two, it's kind of representative of a lot of things that are going on in the world, and nobody's saying that it's just that racism has just become an issue. But I wondered if you'd be kind enough to share some of your experience of what it's been like to be of a different culture, of different historical background and so on, and having moved to the UK. And just help us to grapple. So these are big words, and I appreciate that everybody's experience is different. And so you're not necessarily going to speak on everybody's behalf, and nobody's asking you to. But I'd love to hear your personal kind of take on what it's been like to be in church as well. Let's for example, we're not the United States, but is Britain a racist country? Is that something that you've personally encountered? Can we just start the conversation and see where it goes?
Yeah, sure.
Go on, Favour.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
I guess my experience kind of started when I did move to this country. Previously, I didn't really have that experience because I was in a predominantly black neighbourhood. Yeah. So I didn't even know really about racism or necessarily about the slavery that went on previously before coming to this country. And my first experience actually was at school. So we watched The Roots, which is a movie basically depicting this African man that was kind of kidnapped and sold into slave trade. And then the struggle between that, like accepting where he's at. So I watched this with my fellow classmates, and it was eye-opening, to say the least, and a bit of a shock.
For everybody?
For everyone, I think. I think that was everyone's first introduction to that. It was in a history class.
Okay.
So it was shock to everyone. So my experience then of racism started when we would go to playground. And I think this was intentionally to hurt, because it was using the same racist slur or the names that were used in that movie against me to me. Yeah. So then I knew that what that meant. That was my first kind of awareness that, okay, this is not okay. And I'm sure that person also knew. Mm. So yeah, that was my first experience. Mm. And I guess he was young. So yeah.
Yeah,
that was my first experience.
Children can be cruel.
Children can be cruel.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
And is that... I mean, you've been here about half your life?
Yeah.
Now?
Half my life.
A different half of life there as you grow up into the teen years and into the early 20s. But is it an everyday experience or an every week experience or an occasional thing? And one of the things that we've talked about is that actually, perhaps in the UK, it's kind of a background experience that isn't always so overt, but is like a niggling thing that you guys have to deal with all the time.
So it's not a daily or weekly or like necessarily monthly thing.
Right.
It's as I grow up, it's kind of like covert. So I remember just going to the shops the other day and being followed by this. By the actual shopkeeper. I think he was worried that I might take something. Or just the occasional like shouting, like a car going past and someone screaming something out the window or, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, so it's not necessarily as obvious as that, but I think it still happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that similar few spots away.
Yeah, I was just going to second that. The being followed in stores, that's almost like it happens to you every at least once a month.
It's
crazy. And sometimes you almost have to kind of make exaggerated movements, just like, do not watch me, I'm not taking anything, kind of thing. Or have a basket. It's especially when you don't take a basket, like just a little bit of the experience. Like that's when I find I get followed the most. But when you have a shopping basket or trolley, it's as if they can almost see if you're taking anything you're going to be putting inside. I don't get how that logic works. But in terms of like my experiences in here, so there's obviously being followed into stores. I don't know if you've had this one where people scream or chant like monkey noises and stuff when you're on a bus or...
Not necessarily.
Yeah, so I've had that a few times. So in Bourne, where I kind of moved to England too, it's a predominantly very white area kind of thing. So I've had a few share of experiences, mostly with like younger people like my age kind of thing. But like my experience with like the grown-ups and stuff has been very like, they're very polite people. English people are actually polite, so I like that. But in terms of...
So are you, Spencer.
Thank you. Other experiences I've had, like you say, it's more the systematic stuff. It's very obvious now, especially now.
But even you saying, you know, I have to do exaggerated movements in a shop so as to allay suspicion, that is an example of... the kind of things that I wouldn't see. I wouldn't have thought of that particularly. That's not my experience going into shops usually. Maybe I should, you know, try not to pick up a basket and see what the guy does. But so you're talking about having to compensate in everyday life because there's the kind of an underlying, as you say, or some respects, an institutional bias or racism.
Most definitely, because it's like, it can be with anything, and some things I feel like we almost just play like the nice card, like, you know what, I don't want to cause a problem, let me just like exaggerate my movements, or let me just walk on this side of the road, or maybe let me just not go to that area kind of thing, because it's just trying to avoid those situations. So yeah, sometimes it might be, I don't know, I don't want to say anxiety of it, but because it happens so often, it's so hard not to kind of attach it with that, like, I don't know what that was, but it feels a lot like racism.
Okay. And I don't know even if say white British people are even aware that that's a thing, or if they're projecting that. I'm sure some people are. When we talked in the last week, we had time as a group with your friends, and we because the stuff has come up around the world, and one of the things that we kind of teased out together. To begin with, it was a little bit awkward, wasn't it? Because we were like, okay, are we going to talk to each other about racism? And what do you think? And what do I think? And I wanted to be really clear. I didn't, you know, we shouldn't have to say this stuff, but from a Christian point of view and from our church's point of view, I don't see a racial divide in the kingdom of heaven. I just don't see it. I believe that we're all made equal. We all have equal access before God. Everybody on earth is equal before God and before each other, in my opinion. And that includes other religions as well as other races from each other. And so we all need God's mercy. You know, Jesus died for all of us to know him and come into a personal relationship with him. You know, we just said that, didn't we? Just like, but one of the things you'd asked me was, well, what is the church's position? And I think that was coming from a sense that there was a kind of turmoil going on for you and some of your community, but other people hadn't even said anything. You know, as a church, we hadn't put anything out on social media or that kind of thing. That's one of the ways we can say things publicly. But it felt... Can you talk a little bit about that sense of sometimes not, maybe not feeling fully heard or fully appreciated or fully seen in your experiences?
Yeah, I can go first. I think it really stems from actually previous experiences, I think, because, you know, if you bring it up the first time and it's kind of, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, or you just seen something, or it's just gaslighting, actually, then you kind of stop bringing it up because you think, oh, this is just in my head. So I think in that sense, it's it does feel like you're not being seen or heard because right. they didn't actually listen and they didn't hear you the first time. Yeah, so that is kind of my experience. And also it just, it's slightly embarrassing as well because it just feels embarrassing and a bit vulnerable. So having a safe place to actually go to talk to you about this is not always available. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah, and actually you guys also said that you don't always necessarily talk about it with each other
exactly.
either.
Exactly.
So even that is a bit awkward or unusual.
Yeah. I think the sense or the question rather of kind of knowing where the church or specifically my church stood in all of this came as a, like Favor rightfully said, like we experience this like almost all the time and it's like it comes to a point where it builds up and then like another event will just kind of make everything then blow up. Like, okay, cool. I need to address this.
Right.
Or so for me personally, that week I remember it was a lot of feelings of, okay, I kind of need support from my church family. Like, and I needed something specifically from the church, like something that manifests into like something physical, but like from a spiritual kind of point of view, as in like, yeah. So from like leaders like yourself and stuff. So I was like, okay. It's kind of been quiet, but I know there's always two sides to every story. Let me maybe open up this discussion. But like you say, it was very fearful as well, because it's not something I was definitely comfortable talking about, but it's like we'd never had the conversation. And it was like, it's either that I just keep it inside and just have all those maybe potentially feelings that could go negative, but for all the wrong reasons, rather than like actually addressing it and then seeing where you guys stood with that. So it came from that place of like, feeling very vulnerable and frustrated and confused and just like wanting the church to kind of like almost kind of like, because it's a family, like protect you, because that's what a family does. So yeah, that will be my take on that.
Really important to hear that. Yeah. And I mean, the first thing that helps there is just relationship, isn't it? We are friends, we know each other, we talk. And so, you know, I was incredibly grateful that you reached out, Spencer messaged me, and then we had a phone conversation, and then we had a Zoom conversation, and so the relationship begins, and we begin to understand each other. And it's not that people were clashing, or that, you know, you weren't aggressive or anything. You were very, very respectful and polite, and I hope I was in return. We weren't having a fight, but what was beautiful was that we had a conversation.
Yeah.
And I think, as you say, but I think perhaps with churches as well, we just need to be really careful on that, because we talk about family. But are we aware of some of the issues and some of the feelings that are going on for different members of our family? So in 1 Corinthians, it describes, hang on, where is it? 1 Corinthians 12, I was just really struck by this. We're talking about, Paul is writing, and he's talking about unity and diversity. Nobody's expecting everybody to be the same, but somehow we're unified in Christ. And he talks about the human body has many parts, but we all make up one body. And, you know, there are, some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, some of us are free, is writing 2,000 years ago. But we've all been baptized into one body by the Spirit. We all share the same Spirit. And so this makes for harmony among the members, ideally. So that all the members care for each other. And if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honoured, all the parts are glad. And I think we need to ask ourselves that question in the UK church. And it could be around race, but it could be around many issues of minority issues or of diversity and inclusion. You know, am I really listening? Am I really listening and understanding each other? Are we hearing? Are we empathising with each other? And are we looking to honour different parts of the family who are finding things tough or a struggle? And that's why I was just really grateful that you guys felt that you could talk about it. And I hope that this, well, even with this Wise Lives, we're trying to have that, keep that dialogue and conversation alive. You guys said one thing to me last week in conversation. We talked about code shifting. This was a phrase that was new to me, but it's that sense of you having to play different hats for different social situations and coming into... Can you describe that a little bit?
I'm going to let you go first.
I guess so. I you just have different levels of comfortability, or like how much you're comfortable with someone, or how much you're actually aware of, you know, what someone might think of you. So in my Black community, I guess, or even with my family, my cousins, I speak differently. I probably have an accent, like an African accent.
Sure.
Or like, yes, when I'm talking to you, I try to like put on the British accent.
Right.
It's really funny, but also just different ways I just relate to you. It's just completely different. Or even in a workplace, actually. Mm-hmm. So rather than, because I think we might be labeled, we know we're labeled as so many things. Mm. So trying to like avoid being labeled.
Right.
So rather than speaking so passionately, you know, and then being called aggressive, trying to like maybe turn it down a bit.
Right.
Like speak okay.
Yeah.
Being very aggressive.
I know.
I guess that's partly an English thing as well, because our culture is so kind of understated. You can say very aggressive things in a very polite way.
Exactly.
In Britain.
Exactly.
Yeah, so horses for courses and just picking your moment and having to switch. Spencer, you were invited to speak into your workplace last week. They asked you to speak on this issue. Can you just give us a flavour of what would you say? What did you say to your colleagues? I guess they're from a whole variety of backgrounds, and or maybe they're not predominantly white, I don't know, but what did you say?
So it's a mixture. It's a mixture, but we are most definitely the minority, and when I say we, I mean Black people. Mm-hmm. But it was so what I kind of said was, in a sense, because I don't quite have the answers, obviously, of like how we can do this perfectly, but I feel like the start is by just kind of grabbing a hold of your fears, if you're white or a different race, or even Black people, like if there's some things that we don't get, or we've always kind of been confused about, but just never kind of felt the courage to ask, because fear, I think, is like the biggest hindrance of kind of like you being informed or being knowledgeable. So even if you don't know how to say it, literally say that, just approach someone. I don't know how to say this, but do you mind explaining 1, 2, 3, or what's the big deal with the N-word kind of thing? Like, what is it? If you don't know, that might be a bit of a bad question, but like, it's a start. Don't be afraid. And also, I think every good progress or change always starts from a place of love. Because I always quote, like, the greatest commandment that we were given by Jesus was to love one another. And what does that actually mean? Because when you start to really kind of take back the layers to kind of understand what was he saying, because as a kid, I always remember I used to laugh like, but why not say don't kill, because that's just a really bad thing. But when you think about it, everything comes from love. If you don't love people, then bad things happen, or you don't educate yourself enough, or you just don't care about the next person because there isn't enough love. So that was kind of like the tone I took. But then again, what does that look like? I don't know. I think everyone's still kind of figuring that out right now.
Yeah, of course we are. You don't expect instant answers, but love looks like something, like you say, Spencer. It needs to look like something. And you said something earlier. You said that you would love the church family to express something practically, even though it was a kind of a spiritual thing. They were, you know, if we are a body, then we are a body and we're family. But actually, sometimes that needs some practical demonstration of us doing something. And one of my learnings, certainly from this last week, is that, I recognise my background is white, it's English, I'm educated, I come from what might be described as white privilege. But being silent, isn't the same as being supportive. So many of us were like, this is really important, this is an issue, this is going on. But we didn't say anything, perhaps because we didn't know how to say it, or we didn't want to appear kind of incorrect in what you're saying. But actually, it is important. It's not enough to be neutral at the moment. Actually, what we need to be is anti-racist and pro-love and pro the kingdom of heaven. Oh, I sound like a hippie now.
I like that, pro-love. Yeah.
do you see what I mean? There's actually something about intentionally speaking into situations in kindness and in love and beginning those dialogues. Guys, I'd love to just come towards a landing in terms of asking you, how do you think the UK church can help the situation? How can we be proactive? How can we show love and commitment in practical ways? Jump in.
I'll jump in. I guess this is a great start. More of this is always like, it's going to change things for the entire church. I think just hearing more about what you can implement to bring forth change, if it's parents talking to their kids maybe, or if it's inviting more people, like pastors, black pastors,
right,
or even choir groups, because it's going to be a different dynamic, and that would help. That would bring a good positive change, because then everyone would be aware of our culture, and just to learn more about us would, I think, open everyone's eyes a bit to the fact that we're the same but we're different, and that we also are open to, you know, everyone, because we believe the kingdom of God also looks like, you know, multicultural, and we don't just want to, you know, be in the black community, but we also want to open our arms and invite everyone in as well. Yeah.
And thank you, because that's also a generosity on your behalf of saying, actually, yeah, we do want to integrate and share life. And I appreciate that different ages and different backgrounds sometimes can simply be a little bit kind of don't quite know how to begin that dance. And I don't want to say the wrong thing and so on. But I would just encourage people to get to know each other. And and food's always a winner, isn't it? As a
100%. Most definitely.
100%. So any other thoughts on that one, Spencer?
I think for me, it's kind of easy to answer that. It's like, just look at what my church is doing, The Well. You actually open the dialogue up. And it's one thing that I think we all kind of discuss and we're surprised and kind of taken aback is, because normally when you have to there's discussions with white people, it's almost like they get defensive. Mm. And that hasn't been the case at all. Like, you've just been open, actually, like, oh, what does that actually mean? Like, Spencer, what does this mean? Like, have you ever felt like, we've done 1, 2, 3, and it's like, it wasn't the case. So that openness and just kind of like showing the love, I think that's a great start. And then like letting it manifest into things that are like practical. And sometimes it's not always going to be practical. We don't always have to see it. But I guess like you can kind of feel it when people are actually kind of opening their arms to you and then just like receiving you. It doesn't need to be on social media or I don't know what else examples I can give, but essentially it's just like doing something, being proactive about it and being real. Yeah.
Brilliant. Yes. I think we can do that. I think we can do that, folks. And I want to encourage you to do that and start today. And let's not assume that we know what each other's opinions are. Let's just ask. Let's, you know, let's talk. Let's be friends. Let's build relationships. The kingdom of heaven's all about relationships. Guys, I want to thank you so much just for being open and being willing to speak to us and to share. And we love you guys very much. Thank you. I hope that we can put one or two resources out on our websites and so on that might help point people into further discussion on this one. Let's keep it going. Let's keep the dialogue going. You can post comments on our website and on our Facebook group. You can get in touch if you'd like to follow this up a little bit. But let's just pray. Favour, would you be kind enough to lead us in prayer that
Sure.
we live the radical kingdom life out together?
Father, Lord, we thank you for this conversation that we just had, and that we can even have this conversation. It's such a beautiful thing to commune as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that as we continue seeking you, that you continue to reveal yourself to us and your heart to us, the love that you have for us. And I just pray that what we've shared will touch everyone's and people that listen to its lives and will bring about change. Lord, I just pray that you just continue to make yourself known and your heart and your will known. Amen.
Absolutely. Amen. Thank you so much, guys. Bless you. We'll see you soon.